Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 132, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for the word of the Lord. O Lord, remember in David's favor all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard of it in Ephrathim, and we found it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Rise up, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed in righteousness, and let your faithful shout for joy. Let your servant, for your servant Jacob's sake, do not turn away from the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath, from which he will not turn back. One of your sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my decrees, I shall teach them, and their sons also forevermore shall sit on your throne. Our second scripture reading for today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. Now, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed one of God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch one, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever played King of the Mountain? It made you feel invincible when you're on top of it. Of course, down here in Florida, it's just King of the Hill. But, you know, it really makes you feel top. And thinking of King, it's Christ King, isn't he? How important it is. One time when the U.S. presidents had all got together, they were talking, and Trump said that in a dream, God had told him he was going to be king. Obama said, wait a minute, I had a dream, and God told me I was going to be king. The dilemma was there, so they turned to Jimmy Carter and told him, they spoke to God, and God told him king. And Jimmy said, "I don't remember talking to either one of you." And I tell you that way because king, to become king, depends upon the source by which it comes. And they all know that the highest king comes from the appointment of God. And today's scripture in John, we are at the time when Jesus is facing Pilate, and the concept of him being king comes up. And I thought it would be good for us just to walk through John 18, 33 through 37. Now, if you're from another church like I used to have, you can follow me in the Bible if you want. So let's walk through that. And again, the message of Christ the King, it's the apex of our Christian year. Next week is Advent. It's a new year. But all of the things we do for a year add up to this Sunday. We realize Christ is the King of our lives. And that's what this is about. So hear the Word of God. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" I like that. No nonsense, right to the point. You ever been with somebody and you ask them a question and when they're all through, you have no idea what the answer was? Let me tell you, as many daughters as I have, you cannot believe the number of answers you get to the same question. But people have a tendency sometimes, why aren't we direct? Pilate didn't dance around this thing. He got right to it. How many times have you got tired of hem-haws? You know what a hem-haw is? They can just say, how many of you are old enough to remember mugwompers? Back in the old days, politicians who stood on this side and that side of the fence with their mugs womped on both sides were called mugwompers. You never had no idea what they were about. And the newspapers called them mugwompers. Well, I've been around a lot of churches and done a thing, especially as a military chaplain. Christianity is full of mugwompers. Depends where they're at. But they believe here's one thing, but when they go out in the door, it changes a little bit. But Pilate is direct to the whole question of who Jesus is. And I think sometimes we forget that. We have all kinds of theologies of who Jesus is. But you have to be direct. Who is Jesus? We say our King, for whatever that means. Let's go on with that. "Is this your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" You ever been around people after an election? In our family, we hope nobody brings it up. I have some that voted this way and some that voted that way, and so it's just best not to talk about it. And Jesus is saying, "Now, just a second, Pilate, are you asking me that because of what somebody else has got you up to, or is this what you really believe? Is it from your heart, or are you pussyfooting around with me?" That's a military term if you're not sure about it, Dad. But think of all the times you've asked people to say, "Let's witness for Christ." And when they begin to talk, you're not sure what they stand for. And you get two or three and they have different ways. And I used to follow a formula. It was best when I was a military chaplain. When I was talking to a Baptist, he was my friend. When I was talking to a Methodist, it was my friend. And I always stood up to my friends by being in all the different parties. But that spreads you thin. Sometimes we have to stand for who we are, that we follow Christ the King. I haven't got to what that means yet. But somehow you've got to choose who you play for. It can't be just the people of the moment. It can't be, "Well, this time I'm that, or this time I'm that." In my church I served in Arkansas, in our little grouping, there was the governor of the state, was a Democrat, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is a Republican. And we all got along fine. We had different people from different churches. We got along fine. But where did the hate come from? When all of a sudden, if someone's different than you, they're wrong. You don't know. So Jesus asked him, Pilate, are you coming at me with your own belief? Or are you being pushed by somebody? And I think Pilate is strong. Verse 35, am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? I think that's a classic thing of all of the story about Jesus. Because it's a story for us. What he's saying basically is this. Jesus, you've lived this life, and I can tell what kind of a person you are, not by what you tell me, but what other people tell me about you. I carry an old letter written to me a long time ago, because sometimes you wonder, what am I doing anything worthwhile in ministry? And it was a letter someone wrote to me, how important I did, and it just shocked me. We forget sometimes that people are watching us. You know, I love it when you see somebody with a Christian thing on the back of their bumper honking their horn and yelling at people and having road rage. What a witness for Christ. We forget that when we leave this place, every moment of our life, people are watching us. Do they see Christ the King in our lives, or do they see a self-centered person? That's always the question. And he goes on in verse 36. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is where my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. I said this one time a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of got some flack for it. Do you know that there'll never be a Christian nation on earth? Because Christianity is not of this world. That's why I've always shared the butterfly when I've ever dealt with people who have passed away or when I was a hospice chaplain. And it started before the fish symbol. And I remember an old Methodist minister introduced me to this, and I looked at it, sure enough, he was right. The first church said our body is the cocoon and our spirit's the butterfly. Now, you can't let a butterfly out too soon or it won't fly. Can't be too late. It's got to be just at right time. But our soul is within us. And this is where Christ is about. Christ is about not the cocoon, but the butterfly. He doesn't want us wearing a bunch of symbols and all that stuff. He wants us to wear a smile on our face and a hug around people saying, I like you. You're quite all right. You don't have to wear something on you to prove you're a Christian. We had to caution our soldiers in Turkey about wearing too many symbols. We were in a Muslim country. We had to be careful. We sometimes forget sometimes we belong to a spiritual kingdom. When Pedro goes to Cuba, he's not taking Americanism with him. He's taking a spiritual kingdom with him, an outlet, that other side. And I've had people talk about, how can you prove it's there? Look around. Evidence of creation is all around us. In everything we see and breathe, and what's worthwhile. It's something we can't see, but we feel, the presence of God. So when Jesus is standing before there, he's getting down to nitty-gritty about what this is all about, and Pilate's presentative, so you are king, but it's of a different place, I take it. And Jesus says, that's right. So 37, you are king then, said Pilate. Wow. This is a non-believer. This isn't a man who hasn't come to any faith. He's a Roman. He says, you are the king. Have you ever anybody say just the way you acted? You're a Christian, aren't you? I used to see the way you act. You're a Christian. I've had people tell me I'm some other things when they've watched me, but not that part. But when you stand up for what you do, and it's a witness of who you are, we come to Christ the King Sunday, and we're part of that flock. Is there enough evidence to convict us, or do we have to talk our way into heaven? Do we have to smooth it out and say, hey, I upped my pledge this year. Does that count? I was nice to the people at the front desk. Does that count? It's what's in your heart that counts. And this is what's coming out about this Christ the King thing. And then Jesus answered, you say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came to this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth. And the side of truth is this. There's a reason why human beings walk on planet Earth. And the reason can only be discovered after death. It's called eternal life. I used to do classes and I would draw thing, and I used to teach physics, but I do it. There's space and time, the finite world. That's a round circle. Well, if you put a G and a D out here, then you find out where God's at. God's outside the physical realm of life. And this is what we're about. I can't tell you how many people I've been with and their final step in life and the things went on that were beautiful. They knew, most of them, there's more to this than what I thought it was. I thought death was the final. Death is the birth. We're born into a higher plane of life called eternal life and a whole new thing, and our butterflies fly. The problem is we've tried to define heaven in earthly terms. You're going to get a house. Well, that means you got to dust, wash, all that kind of stuff. Who wants that kind of thing? You know? No, it's a life we have no idea except it's full of peace and love. Peace that passes all understanding. Boy, what would that be like in today's news? What would happen if we only talk about the good things that happen in life and not the bad things? What happened to love your neighbor? 16 times Jesus was asked, what must I do to be saved? And he always said, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbors. You love yourself and you got it. We like other rules because the thing I just quoted, the Shema, is too hard. We like rules. Well, I did these six things, so I'm pretty good. Did you like the person who gave it? Well, no. The only thing that matters in life is do we honor what the King has asked us? To honor God, to honor one another. So, if Christ is our King, we can't be self-centered. Now, self-centered people, the ones who walk in and say, here I am. The other centered people walk in and say, there you are, because they're concerned about you. So if Christ is our King, remember, almost all kings are by brute force. How can Jesus be king if he doesn't have an army? The only thing Jesus has to take his story that he's king on is his people. We belong to that kingdom. We are his witnesses that his whole story is true. But do you know what that means to be a witness of God, of Christ? It means we each are ambassadors. Now, it's interesting the word ambassador. Ambassador means aroma. That ambassador goes and can, and I used to work for the ambassadors in Turkey. They can only represent what they're told by the president. They can't give their own opinion. They go and they represent the one who sent them. We are ambassadors of Christ. And I wrestled with that for a long time. When I was in the business world, I had in my briefcase, make sure brain is engaged before, or in gear before engaging mouth. When I became a minister, I said, make sure spirit is engaged before opening your mouth. That when you go out in the world and you realize you're an ambassador, and we should teach soldiers when you're in foreign countries, remember, people see you and they measure the United States by how they see you. And I tell you, when you go out there and you talk and act with people, do they see King Jesus in what you're doing? Or do they see a real religious person who knows everything? And this whole story that Pontius Pilate, it took somebody outside the fence to say that Jesus was the king and to remind each of us who follow him, we're his disciples, every one of us. The book of Acts never closed. We're in chapter 2024, getting ready to go in 2025. And when we think of Christ the King, where his purity, we belong to this team. You know, it's one of the things we sometimes forget. It's great being on a winning team. And I had a Baptist preacher tell me one time, Dennis, why do you fuss so much? Look in the back of the book. We win. We make it. When it's all said and done, Christ Jesus was the center of this whole thing, and he was our king, and those who followed it, we made it to the other side. And what's on the other side? We don't know yet. But we know what we left behind is something we don't want to stay forever. We want to step into eternal life, knowing we are part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we sometimes slide over that word king. I did the little story of the presence, king of the mountain. We all want to be king. You don't believe me? Sit down and play some games with your kids like Shanghai Rummy. That's brutal if you got kids, let me tell you. And the older they get, the more they want to win. But that isn't important in life. What's important in life, whatever I did, was it faithful? Was it just? Was it who I am? And last week, Llewellyn mentioned the last verse of Judges. Everybody was doing their own thing in their own way, which is kind of, I think, our country right now. When everybody does their own thing in their own way in the military, it's called chaos. And I don't think chaos is what we want life to be about. When we have a king, we have a central focus. But we have to make sure the king we pick is one who can produce the kind of kingdom we want to live in. You want to go find a king who's beaten on his chest, say, come on, be one of my people? I don't think so. But if you have someone who says, I'm for love and peace, let's hug one another. Let's pass a piece of understanding. Let's be together. Now that's somebody I can follow. And Christ the King says, if you look at all the things we've done this year in sermons leading up to it, that's the pole point. If Christ is your King and you're the ambassadors, it doesn't get any better than this. And when people who are not of the faith see us, they'll say, those are King's kids. They're nice. They're good people. They love one another. They aren't hypocrites. They care. They don't judge. They just live and enjoy what God has given them. You know, we're very blessed in the kingdom we have. I've been in a lot of kingdoms. I told you a story about my early life. What would it be like if you were born into a perfect world? It'd be hard to understand why a kingdom's so great. This world is the womb. And we get a taste of what it's like trying to struggle. And then we meet Christ the King. And we find there's a way out. There's a way out. And it's a peaceful way. It's a loving way. And it's forever. Christ the King, I want to wear my white because that means it's a brand new day. So what I would suggest is, just like you do on the New Year's Eve, between now and Advent Sunday, which is next Sunday, reflect on what your life has been this year and say what you want it to be in the year ahead. You want to become a better child of God, a better member of the kingdom of Christ, so that when you go out there, other people see peace and love and Christ in you. And by saying Christ is King, that's how you honor Him. Be the image of Christ now and forevermore. Amen.